Hello, my name is Patrick James Lynch.
And I'm Natalie Lynch.
And you are listening to the Bloodstream Podcast and a very special Bloodstream Mom's Mini Corona on the front lines.
Mom's Mini is so cute.
It is. It's a very it's good that we were able to, you know, give cute branding to the coronavirus episode.
Levity. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's top of mind for us because these are our moms and there's a global pandemic and they're on the front lines. But I think it's top of mind to everyone. Everyone's really concerned about what's it like to be working in a hospital. What's it like to be seeing people pass away at a cadence that's greater than normally working in a hospital setting. And, you know,
absolutely.
It's the physical and a mental and emotional toll, and also just the practical aspects. You know, we're hearing things on the news about PPE shortages.
Right.
And, you know,
it's some interesting things to say about that stuff.
Yeah. And just what does it look like in their specific hospitals? And obviously it's
from their point of
view. Yeah. Limited to their locations and their point of views. But I think it's an interesting insider's view. So we hope you enjoy.
We do. And I will say too, part of this was inspired by the number of people who have reached out to ask us how our moms are doing or to wish them well, because we have spoken about them on the podcast before. Mama Sue has been on the podcast before. So thanks for that. That's really touching to receive those kind of messages, and we do pass them along. And it also, you know, inspired us to want to help bring those stories to you. So hope you enjoy this Corona on the Front Lines Bloodstream Moms Mini.
And more intense symptoms coming in, like we're innovating. We just did innovation after innovation after innovation last night. Or code.
How long has that been the case with the last few days?
It seems like it's been building up in this past week, you know.
What is the actual test? Like, what is, I don't know what the actual process is for the test.
For the test, it's literally just doing a swab in one of your nares, and literally for a good 5 seconds, you know, you twist it around, you know, deep in there. Put it in the tube and it is put on ice and then sent to the labs. And it can take up to 8 hours to do it. But we're doing rapid. We are having, because it's main campus, it's doing all the testing. It's a continuous courier coming. So we're getting our answers, you know, our test results a little faster. In most cases.
How many tests, like in your shift, just this last shift, how many tests do you think were administered? Not necessarily only by you, but in general by your team?
By our team in my shift, my 12-hour shift, probably 15 at least, you know, new cases. I mean, actually, no, I think it's been... Okay, opening my, sorry, I opened.
We had a beverage volcano explosion moment.
Yeah, sorry, we won't do that
first
again.
First a pandemic.
Won't do that again.
Then a beverage goes berserk.
What are we going to do here? Good thing it's not showing my lap. My lap is looking like a little kid. I've got egg, I've got.
Mom, are you with us too, or not?
I can barely hear you.
You can barely hear me? I'm shouting.
I know, something with my audio. I don't know, I'm not hearing well.
Is it all the way up?
Yeah.
Okay, we hear you. Do you hear, Ruthann, do you hear my mom okay?
Oh, I can hear you better now.
Oh, good. There you are.
There you are.
Gang's all here.
Has it been getting crazier, Mom, and for you too in New York? Are you seeing that same kind of uptick that Ruthann was talking about?
No, we're not, because we got it first. So we're actually, things are much better for us.
What have the last couple of days been like?
Well, we still have all the same nursing home patients in the hospital with nowhere to go. So we're still tight with beds, but the emergency room is more like it used to be, you know, with just regular patients coming in, not the ambulance after ambulance after ambulance. So, but it's still tough. I mean, you know, we still have all these people in the hospital with nowhere to go. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
What floor were you on most of this week?
I'm with the COVID patients. I mean, it's the whole hospital.
Any recovery or were you doing tests?
A lot of recovery. Yeah, a lot of recovery. You said I told you about that song, but I said John Legend. It wasn't John Legend. It was Farrell.
Well, tell the story again for this.
I think I also told Ruth Ann.
Yes, you did.
They make an announcement every... Yesterday, they made several announcements. Congratulations, staff. We have just discharged a COVID patient who has been cured. And then they blast that song, Happy, which I love that song, but it's so loud. You have to stop talking, stop what you're doing, and wait for it to be over.
Do they play the whole song?
No, they play it maybe, I'd say, for 60 seconds.
It's long enough.
And it's funny because I was working with in the recovery room the other day, and I had this young guy. He had a surgery, and he's like half out of it. And all of a sudden, he hears this song, Happy, screaming it. He's like rolling his eyes like, where am I?
That's awesome. God knows we need some humor through all of this. Yeah.
I was listening to NPR this morning, and they had two paramedics, New York City paramedics, on, and they said that the number of cardiac arrests, one guy had 17 cardiac arrests in his 12-hour shift, and that it's the COVID's displaying in cardiac arrest in some people. Are you guys seeing that?
I like I said earlier, I think that's with your, you know, heart failure, your CHF cases, you know, because you tend to fill with fluid and your lungs and such, and that's affecting it, and it's just making more people go into cardiac arrest. I did read on New York and that New York is being hit with a lot more cardiac arrests, you know, running codes with their medics.
JetBlue just sent out a information notice yesterday that if we have to do CPR on the plane, that we're only instructed to do chest compressions now.
Right, and I'm hoping that you are instructed to cover the face before you start doing those compressions. At least that's through here, and I would bring that up to JetBlue because when you're doing compressions, you are forcing the air. You know what I'm saying? You're forcing the possible secretions out of that, you know.
Sure, I'm hoping anyone who's on a plane right now is wearing facial protection so that their face will be covered, but, you know, that's good to keep in mind.
And yours would be too.
Yeah, it's good to keep in mind.
Right.
You were mentioning there's a lot of call-outs this past week or so.
Yeah, the staff is getting tired and stressed, and some of the staff are getting it. They're all getting better and coming back to work, but they're out for about 2 weeks when they get it. So then you're down staff, and the other people, like myself, you know, you're doing double work. So it's very stressful emotionally and physically.
When was the last time that you were on the floors too before all this?
15 years ago.
And when was the last time you were doing 12-hour shifts?
15 years ago. That's when I left them. But I'm not doing 12s.
Good. Okay, good.
I'm doing 8, yeah.
Have either of you been tested?
There's no reason to be tested. I'm not sick.
I was just
scared. We do have a protocol here, and I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but we have our temperature taken every time we come into the hospital, any employee, prior to shift. So if you have a temp, you're going to be, you know, sent back home.
What's the policy for you, Susan?
We only test admitted patients. We have signs on an emergency room. We're not a testing center. So if you're curious about getting tested, but right now, unless you have symptoms and you're high risk, I mean, I would be high risk even if I'm not a nurse. If I felt symptoms, there are testing centers here in Long Island I can go to, urgent care centers. And but the hospital only tests admissions. We test all admissions now. Anyone
so
admitted?
You don't test employees? Do your employees not get tested?
No.
Interesting.
Are you getting your temperature checked as well on the way in, or any of those kind of precautionary things?
No.
Have you also seen, Ruth Ann, call outs and people starting to kind of drop a little bit in the way that mom was describing?
Not in our area. At Maine, yes. Not in our hospital. We're staying healthy, knock on wood. And then the areas of the hospital that have been closed down, you know, non-essential surgeries and such, those nurses, et cetera, are coming down to our ER to work. So we've got some great backup happening there. And in fact, we just sent 25 nurses and doctors to New York City, to Presbyterian, yesterday. They just flew out. And next week we're going to be sending another unit up.
Have you gotten any volunteers or out-of-state mom nurses or doctors in your hospital?
Yes. Yes, we do. We have several work in the emergency room mostly. I met a few doctors yesterday from Colorado.
Okay.
And he couldn't believe it. He's like, I cannot believe this place. I said, oh my God, you're here at the end. You should have seen it a few weeks ago. Because he said Colorado hasn't really been hit. So he's quite shocked.
I've heard that the patient ratio in New York, patient to, you know, caregiver ratio, is very high, just because of the volume.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That's true.
There have been a lot of stories about people who passing away in isolation and they can't interact with families. Have either of you kind of seen some of those difficult end of life situations play out through all this?
That's the saddest of all, I think, that the patients have no visitors. The door is closed. The windows are shut because about 40 years ago, someone jumped out the window and tried to kill themselves. So we nailed down all the windows. So the rest of the hospital can never have fresh air again. So these people are in rooms with the door closed with no visitors. And it's awfully sad.
Wow. They just, 40 years ago, they were like, we're not having another jumper. We're nailing all these windows down.
That's right. No fresh air.
Our hospital doesn't have any windows that you can open. So I guess they learned from your hospital, Susan. That's the hardest part. That is literally the hardest part of my position. We're out in the tent, having to talk to family members and, you know, inform them that they can't enter the hospital, that they can't go in while we're working a code on their loved one or such. Our protocols right now for visitors are, if there is an end of life situation, they can have one visitor in with PPE. Of course. Same with childbirth. They can have one person in, of course, with full PPE on. But yeah, otherwise, anything else? No. Minors as well. Minors, of course, you're going to have a parent or legal guardian, one legal guardian. But again, one.
So have you found yourself playing the role of de facto therapist, support, advocate, life doula type?
Oh my gosh, yes. Very much so. Because, and the nurses on the floor as well, and they're doing an amazing job. The nurses on the floor, this is a really great story I want to share. They had a day where it was just a little calmer. So they did a spa day for the patients and they gave them full body washdowns. They washed their hair. They did their hair. They were using their iPhones to let the patients, and we have iPads as well now, to let the patients speak to their loved ones via that. And it truly was heartwarming. You know, again, as caregivers, you sign up for that. You don't jump into this job without that kind of compassion. But it really made my heart warm because you're exhausted. You're exhausted during these hold shifts because it's just extra, extra. And when I see that done by fellow caregivers, it's just amazing. I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, so proud of them. That's cool. Mom, you were mentioning to me a few weeks ago that there were a lot of younger nurses who were excited by the opportunity to take the extra hours and make the extra money because the demand was so high. Is that energy still there, or are people getting tired?
People are getting a little tired. Yeah, even the 25-year-olds are cutting back a little bit. But they're still doing it. I mean, they're the ones that are carrying the hospital because they're all young. And then there's the odd one like me up there. But they're very grateful when I come up, you know, because, I mean, I remember everything and I can give them some tips about how I used to do things. And so, go ahead.
I was going to say, you mentioned that Colorado doctor too. You know, you're coming in at the end. You should have seen it a few weeks ago. What are you seeing in the hospital that kind of indicates to you that the worst is over and it's maybe coming to an end at your hospital?
Because the emergency room looks like it usually used to look. There's not patients hanging off stretchers all in the hallways with masks on. Now it's much less. The ambulances aren't all lined up. It's definitely come down 100%, thank God. Yeah.
What do you think the impact of this will be on your hospital? I know it's like impossible to forecast any of this stuff really, but just what does your gut tell you will be some of the long-term impact at your hospital?
I mean, we were hanging on financially by a thread before this. I don't even know how we're going to survive this, to be honest. Unless the government, someone said the government's going to give all the hospitals a lot of money when this is over. I mean, we've spent many, many, many millions of dollars in the last month.
Yeah.
On protection and on overtime and importing doctors and nurses. And it's just been a real shit show, to be honest. So I don't know how we're going to survive it.
Do both of you feel like you've had adequate PPE, or has there been a shortage at either hospital?
There's not been any shortage at our hospital thus far. I've never felt like I didn't have adequate PPE. In Ohio, the curve is flattening. They've done a fantastic job with that. Kudos to our healthcare administration people and governor as well. And the people of Ohio have done overall a good job about staying home, going out only when necessary. And that's helped with the whole supply right there, because then there's not as many people in the hospital, not as many needs for the use of it.
Right. That was one of the big takeaways from a hemophilia and COVID webinar that I watched last week from the World Federation, that there's, you know, the short story being there's no direct reason to change behavior or fear or anything if you have a bleeding disorder, but we just want to reduce hospitalizations more so than, you know, ever. So stay adherent to your regimen, stay healthy. You want to just avoid the hospital now as much as you've ever wanted to avoid it. So I thought that was some pretty good practical advice for people like me and healthy people in general. Just stay healthy if you can.
You know, it's too bad, because the other day I had a young guy in his 40s. I don't know what he did for a living. If he was, you know, he had a blood clot in his groin for 2 days, and he was reluctant to go to the emergency room because he's afraid to go to the emergency room because of the disease. He came in and they tried to remove the clot. He's probably going to have an amputation. Oof. Because he was clotted for 2 solid days and didn't go to the hospital because he's afraid of getting the virus. I mean, that the world is just turned upside down, that the COVID has taken over the ER, and people with other illnesses or conditions like you or like this man, they're not coming in because they're scared to come in.
Yeah.
And yeah. Really in New York, I mean, the nursing homes have taken over all the hospitals, and the nursing homes are very high tech now. For the last many years, they do dialysis. They have ventilators there. They have people with sepsis and strokes and heart attacks. To send them to the hospital when they have 6 comorbidities with COVID, we're only going to do what you do. We're not going to do anything different that you couldn't do at the nursing home. And they're taking up all the beds. And then the 40-year-old with a blood clot is going to lose his leg because he's afraid to come to the emergency room. And I don't blame him to be afraid.
Right.
You know, but I just think after this is all over, we have to sit down, you know, the powers that be. The nursing homes cannot dump every single person that coughs twice into the hospital. They just can't.
Hmm.
It's an interesting perspective.
What about in any gender difference? Natalie and I, in the Monday episode for Bloodstream, we're reviewing some pieces that have been written where they've compiled data about the ways it's affecting genders differently. But observationally, have either of you noticed anything notable?
Male.
Primarily male. Admitted and death rate too?
No, I just think male across the board.
In Ohio, it has been kind of almost equal, male to female. On like my observation, I have seen more male than female.
I mean, that's in line with the article that we presented for Bloodstream.
Yeah.
That it's definitely across the United States, across Europe, China, everyone's kind of seeing this is hitting men harder. So you both are working long shifts, lots of days, it's stressful, there's more people than normal, the fear and anxieties and agitations of coworkers and patients are probably much higher than normal. What are each of you doing to maintain your physical health and maintain your mental health?
You go first, Roseanne.
I'll tell you what, my coworkers are amazing. We call ourselves the A-team, and we are a very strong, we're like family, and we have a group text. We are constantly texting each other with silly memes. Humor is a huge thing to keep the spirit up the minute. There's a lot of just, one-on-one, pulling to the side for a quick minute, even in the air, just to vent it out and get it out to each other, support talk, and then go about the business. It's just kind of, you run a code, you lose somebody, you debrief with each other. And that always happens. You save somebody. There's lots of, air hugs going on. And then again, like with our family, we have our family group text. Seeing, the videos and such of the granddoggies and grandkitties are very important. Those little warm fuzzies, definitely important. I have a fantastic support system here with Rocco, and he is doing all of the house stuff, the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry, and making sure that I'm getting rest, which is fantastic. I've got to be honest, and this is with coworkers as well. We've all been a little more sinful in the emotional eating area. Donuts and such have definitely been a little comfort, but you're physically active, and you're really physically active for 12 hours straight in the ER for sure. My exercise is not as much as it should be, but random here and there. Have helped. So, yeah.
It's a good list. That's a healthy list. How about you, Ma?
Well, I don't have a Rocco, unfortunately, but when I come home, I do not watch news at all, which in general, I don't watch the news. I walked into a patient's room the other day and she was with an oxygen mask watching the news coverage on coronavirus. I said to her, "Why are you watching this?" I took the TV control and I put on Animal Planet. I said, "Do not watch any of this. You don't need to know. Concentrate on getting better. Be happy. Think of something nice." So when I'm home, with the exception of this appointment to make this meeting with you, I do not think about it. I do not watch it until I go back to work the next time. And that helps me.
For sure. All right, well then bringing this conversation to a close so they can go back to recharging batteries before you have to think about it some more. Is there anything that, I know you don't watch the news much, but is there anything that you think isn't being, getting out into kind of the common conversation about this from an inside the hospital perspective? Is there anything that people aren't hearing about that they should hear about?
I can't say it. There's anything. The laymen seem to know everything that's going on. It's on the news constantly.
And you feel like it's generally accurate?
Yes, I do think it's accurate. Yeah.
Okay. What about for you, Ruthann?
I think here in Ohio, I mean, there's daily at 2 o'clock televised conferences with our health administration and our governor, and the information given by them is fantastic and accurate, and there's good conversation between the news folks, the media and them, for the most part, and it's getting good answers out there to some of the silly things like which is frustrating. If there's anything that's frustrating, is hearing from outside sources that this is some kind of conspiracy, that this is not really happening. And if anything, I would say this, come step in our shoes in the front line, live a 12-hour shift in our shoes, and that'll totally debunk that whole myth of this being a conspiracy. This is very real, people, very real.
Well, thank you for sharing some stuff. I know that you're living it all the time, so I'm sure it's not the first thing you want to do, talk about it more, but appreciate you doing it with us. So thank you both.
Yeah, I agree with what
you're welcome.
Saying with the people who are not thinking this is real and protesting and doing stuff. I think that they should have to sign a document if they're walking around saying it's not real, that if they get hospitalized, they will not receive medical treatment.
That would definitely scare them back into it.
I feel like you would like that. That feels like a rule you would put in place.
Yeah, I actually have not heard people say it's not real. I didn't know about this.
It's because you're not watching
the news. And not watching the news.
Exactly. I don't have to know that, right? I don't really need to know that.
But we appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you. Love you both.
Pleasure. Love you too.
Bye, guys.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed that conversation. Thank you to Mama Sue and Ruth Ann for joining us. Thank you to Takeda, our presenting sponsor, for making this possible. Bleedingdisorders.com to learn more about them, fellas. Go to bloodstreammedia.com to learn more about all the podcasts that we provide. If you don't know about that already, make sure you're subscribed here if you're not, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye, everybody.